Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Coffee House Shots after the first head-to-head debate between the Labour Party and Tory Party leaders in British history. So, a big night in this, the biggest night of this campaign so far. Katie Balls, who won?
I think in some ways it was a draw, but it really depends how you judge it. Ultimately, it didn't appear to me anyway, there was a game-changing moment. Now, given that Jeremy Corbyn was the person who needed a game-changing moment, I guess that could mean that Boris Johnson technically won because he's already ahead, he is the front runner. And I don't think this was a debate that moved the dial. But ultimately, it just didn't seem that either side got that much momentum. I think there were positives for both sides in the sense that you could tell Boris Johnson is very comfortable attacking Jeremy Corbyn on Brexit. And I think that you get the sense that they feel those lines landed well. But I do think there were points when Jeremy Corbyn appeared to chime with the audience. And I always think with Jeremy Corbyn, because there's this tendency to underestimate him, as happened in 2017, if he puts in an okay performance, it actually surprises people. So I think there were some positives there too.
Isabel Harman, do you think this debate would have changed many voters' minds?
I suspect not. No, I suspect it. I mean, they do tend to confirm what people already think about political leaders. And this certainly, as Katie said, didn't have a game-changing moment where I don't think anyone watching would have thought, oh, I didn't realise that about Jeremy Corbyn or about Boris Johnson. I think there were the poll that was released after the debate shows Jeremy Corbyn and Boris Johnson essentially tied, with Boris Johnson on 51, Jeremy Corbyn on 49. And it was a sort of a debate of two halves, as football players would say, in that the Brexit half was stronger for Boris Johnson. The second half on domestic policy, the NHS and so on, was stronger for Corbyn. And also the sort of strange questions that we got right at the end, I think actually worked better for Jeremy Corbyn, because unusually, given he seems so very slow-witted in the chamber, particularly at Prime Minister's questions, when he's unable to get off the pre-prepared questions that he's come in with, even if the Prime Minister comes up with an announcement that confounds them in the very first answer, he did seem quite quick-witted in this debate. They were asked, for instance, what present you'd put under the tree for the other leader. Now, you could say, this is a complete waste of time, this question. But what it did show was that Boris Johnson just didn't know what to say, and he sort of blustered and ended up talking about dams and jam, whereas Jeremy Corbyn did actually have quite a good answer, which was that he'd put a Christmas carol underneath the Christmas tree for Boris Johnson to read. It was particularly odd, given Boris Johnson's love of words and his extremely fortunate education, that he couldn't think of a single book to recommend to Jeremy Corbyn. So I think that was sort of slightly revealing about their characters, along with the fact that Boris Johnson just continually talked over Julie Etchingham, the moderator. And that was partly because the format of the debates was quite frustrating. They weren't given very much time to answer very complex questions on difficult issues before they were moved on. But it did appear that Boris Johnson had in his haste to answer, to give as full an answer as possible, he did often appear slightly disrespectful of the moderator, which, given some of the accusations levelled against him, is probably not the best look for him.
So, Katie, if you had a different job this evening, if you were producing the package for the nightly news tonight, what clips do you think you would pick out from that debate?
Well, this is where we find out probably I shouldn't be a news producer, because what I say may not correspond. But I thought there were a few good lines there. I thought that Boris Johnson clearly just wanted to say get Brexit done about a million times and succeeded in getting quite close to that. But I think the points that were the most interesting was where he went off that script. And you saw there was some discussion about the magic money tree. And the point was made that the Conservatives are spending more and Labour are. And I thought Boris Johnson did have a fairly quick reply in saying that actually under Jeremy Corbyn it'd be a magic money forest. And then on the Jeremy Corbyn side, I thought one of the moments where he was the strongest was actually related to the Duke of York and Prince Andrew, which is when they were asked about Prince Andrew following Epstein and his decision to give what by all accounts was a car crash interview on Saturday night. And before answering about Prince Andrew, Jeremy Corbyn took a moment and said, actually, let's talk about the victim, something Prince Andrew had failed to do. So I thought that was another conversation point which could go from there. And again, just looking at the various policy pledges, I think that Corbyn's focus on the environment and then Boris Johnson almost grazing over social care, suggesting they will do not something, but not getting to specifics. It didn't feel as though there was a single new policy or policy push that was setting the news agenda alight from that.
Now, Isabel, you could clearly see what the Tories want the questions to be in the final 3 weeks of a campaign. They want to hit Jeremy Corbyn with this thing of which side would you campaign for in the referendum, leave or remain? A question that Jeremy Corbyn can't and won't answer. They also want to go after him about what he would offer the SNP in the event of a hung parliament. It's hard not to have a kind of flashback to 2015 and the Tory campaign then when you hear that. Do you think these warnings about the power that the SNP would wield in a hung parliament, do you think they're going to be as effective in 2019 as they were in 2015?
That's an interesting question. When I've been talking to voters in various target seats around the country, they do actually seem to be picking up this question of risk, particularly actually when it comes to voters who are considering voting Lib Dem, because they worry that if they vote Lib Dem, that will lead to a Labour minority government or one in which they're leaning on the SNP. And so that does seem to be having some kind of cut through, at least for the Lib Dems, if not for those who are contemplating voting Labour overall.
And they are spoiling us in this election campaign because we have one more of these Boris Johnson, Jeremy Corbyn head-to-head debates ahead of us. And both sides are going to get a second bite at the cherry. What do you think they will have both seen in this debate that they will want to kind of try and pile in on the second of these debates?
Definitely, as we've already mentioned, the ambiguity that Jeremy Corbyn is trying to maintain on Brexit. And from Jeremy Corbyn's point of view, to get Boris Johnson on the NHS, because his answers were pretty weak, actually, which is surprising given that this is the week where he surprised the CBI by saying that he was postponing the planned corporation tax cut in order to spend £6 billion more on public services, particularly the NHS. He wasn't very good, not just on the sort of trade deal aspect of selling off the NHS to Donald Trump, as it's sort of caricatured lazily by Labour, but also on NHS services more generally. And that's something he definitely needs to work out. I think also just on a sort of, for both of them, on a sort of more human level, neither of them were particularly good at pitching themselves this evening. We've already talked about Boris Johnson talking over the moderator. And I thought it was interesting that the CCHQ press team decided to rename their Twitter feed Fact Check UK, which shows this sort of cavalier attitude towards facts, because they weren't fact checking anything. They were just offering opinions on how rubbish they think Labour are, which is not surprising at all. But they were sort of trying to masquerade as, I think, Channel 4's fact check team. And there's that kind of slightly cavalier attitude that you see not just from Boris Johnson, but also from the campaign more generally, where they sort of think, oh, well, we don't really care if people think that we're pumping out untruths or sort of 1984 style Ministry of Truth propaganda on Twitter, because that's how we'll cut through. But Jeremy Corbyn turned up with his glasses askew, which made him look slightly odd. And I was expecting during the break someone to dash out and correct his glasses, but they were still there in the second half, looking a bit crooked as well. And that sort of thing, you know, it doesn't change people's opinions of him that much. But I think both of them probably want to work on their presentational aspects a little bit more in the run-up to the next debate. So they look like they're all together and ready to look prime ministerial on the world stage. You don't want crooked glasses at a UN summit, for instance.
And Katie Balls, you'll be back out on the campaign trail tomorrow. Do you think the election campaign is going to feel different tomorrow? Will the issues that we're discussing have changed? And has this campaign finally taken off? Or are we still in a slightly scrappy, fractious contest?
Well, I'm in Salford and I've just left the spin room to do this podcast where various politicians from both Labour and the Tories were explaining why this was the game-changing moment and now the election was really underway, but ultimately just for their side. Now, I think that in the coming days, I definitely feel like things are speeding up. We're going to start to get the manifesto launches. And perhaps because of this debate, it's going to be more in the minds of voters, the fact that an election is near. Because one thing I've been picking up from MPs is they're saying they're not quite getting yet the sense from voters that they want to think about who they're going to vote for. They get the sense that they're going to think about nearer the time. So this could be when it starts to have more effect, I suppose, canvassing. But I guess onto the next head-to-head.
So, Katie, we will let you head out from the spin room to Britain's finest supermarket, Boovs. Isabel, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back tomorrow morning with another podcast, and we will be back with more debate about analysis after the next Johnson-Corbyn head-to-head. So stay tuned. Thank you so much for listening.